Hopefully it'll keep working. You'll be able to hear. I want to read some scripture today from the second chapter of the Hebrew letter. If you would like to read along with me, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to begin reading with verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." And that concludes the second chapter of Hebrews. I want to speak to you today about fear of death. And I want to use for a title, the removal of fear. Now, this was in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read these verses here, that he took part as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that he took part of the same. It was speaking about the Lord coming in the flesh, and God came here and dwelt among us as a man. And he made the only sacrifice that would be sufficient for our sin. And it talks about in the 15th verse that he came to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So those who, because of the fear of death, were made slaves to that, were in bondage to that. Now, I believe that everybody here today will be able to, everybody here today that has been saved will be reminded of something in the things that I have to say today. And I believe that those who are here that already have been made to realize their lost condition, those here today among us that are still lost and without the Lord, will understand what I'm saying, because I believe they've already experienced this and are living in bondage to that fear. You know, when a person is made to know, and that's done by the work of the Holy Spirit, that's not something that we just figure out in our mind. It's when the Lord makes us to know that we are lost, that's a very fearful thing. And I well remember that.
I can remember back when,
as a small child, that I wasn't worried about anything. But when the time came that God made it known to me that I was lost, there was a fear that came upon my soul. And it was there until it was taken away. And so I want to try to speak about that today. Now, I want us to look at some things that are found in the third chapter of Genesis. And you know, we learn so much. If you just look at the first two or three chapters of the book of Genesis, you learn so much. And in the third chapter of Genesis, we are given the account of Adam after that he had sinned, after that he had transgressed the law of God. He came to the realization that something was different. Things were no longer the same. And his response to God had changed. You know, Adam, before this time, in a state of perfection, Adam had heard the voice of the Lord on several occasions, and it had not affected him the way that we read about it affecting him here after that he had sinned. It tells us in the third chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 8, that they, that being Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, they had not done that before, but now they did. They hid themselves when they heard the voice of God. And the Bible says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Now, I believe that if we are to have a proper understanding of this, we're going to have to consider that when God asked Adam this question, that he was asking him for more than just what his geographical location was. I believe that this question had spiritual implications. Where are you, Adam? Not only physically, but where do you stand with me? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, if we go back to the last verse of Genesis chapter 2, in verse 25 of Genesis chapter 2, after it tells us how that God had caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he had taken a rib from him and made a woman and brought her unto the man, and after that God had instituted the divine union of marriage between a man and a woman, between a man and a woman, the Bible tells us they were both naked. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, this was before sin had come into the picture. This was before they had transgressed against God. They were naked and they were not ashamed. But we find in the third chapter that Adam said, when he heard the voice of God, he said, "I was afraid." And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, there again, we see Adam doing what he had not done before. And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" Now, this is God talking to Adam. He said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should us not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, I believe that this fear that Adam was experiencing was not just a natural fear, but when he had transgressed the law of God, he actually became afraid in his soul. He had fear concerning the condition of his soul. He was afraid now of the way that he stood before God. And, you know, the Bible tells us that God had warned him that in the very day that he would do this, that he would die. Now, he didn't die physically that day, but he did die spiritually when he transgressed God's law. And what that means is that he became separated from God. Things were no longer the same between him and God. The 59th chapter of Isaiah speaks about our sin separating us from God. And that's what had happened here with Adam. His sin had made a separation between him and God. And so when he heard the voice of the Lord, as he had many times before, it was a fearful thing to him, and he went and he hid himself. And he said that he confessed before God that he was afraid, and that there was shame here. And so he just, you know, did not see himself the way that he had before. Something had drastically changed. And so, listen, a person, any person that is lost in sin ought to have a great fear of death. You should fear that. And you should be afraid before the Lord. Listen, I have seen people, and I'm sure that many of you have as well. I have seen people under conviction of sin that even their physical body would shake. People that, you know, that's the greatest fear that will ever come over anybody, is when they see themselves before God. And I believe that's what happened to Adam here. He saw himself before God, a sinner, guilty. And certainly because of that, he was afraid. The nakedness here, I believe that, now I don't know how you look at this, but this is the way that I look at it. Adam here, when he realized that he was naked, it was more than just his physical appearance. And the Bible talks about that. The Bible uses this term several times. And I want to share some of those scriptures with you. But when Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He was not only aware of that from a physical standpoint, but he was aware that there was a spiritual nakedness about him. Listen, before the Lord saves us, he will expose us of our sins, won't he? He'll make it known to us. He'll make it known to us where we stand before him. And there is condemnation in that. when God convicts us of our sinful condition, we feel condemned before Him, don't we? We know that something's not right. We know. God makes us know. You've probably heard many people testify about how when they were a child and they heard the preaching of the gospel and they would inquire of their parents, how will I know when I'm lost and separated from God? How will I know when I'm in need of salvation? And truly, the only thing you can really tell somebody is you'll know. God will make you know. And those of us that have experienced that know that that's true. Amen. Know that that's true. God will make us know. And He will show us. You know, I believe that, I know it was this way with me. I believe it's this way with all of us. But I believe that the greatest look that we ever get of ourselves, I believe the truest sense in which we ever see ourselves is when God convicts us of the fact that we're a sinner. I mean, we really see then what we truly are before Him. Unworthy of Him. Thank God that He does that. Because if He didn't, we wouldn't come to Him, would we? And so, Adam said, God, I heard Your voice. I heard Your voice. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, the Bible talks about how that they, prior to this, the Bible tells us that how they tried to hide their own nakedness. It talks about how that they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together. Now here they were trying to hide their physical nakedness. They sewed fig leaves together and they made aprons and they tried to cover themselves. But listen, we can't do that. We can't cover our own sins. From a spiritual standpoint, that cannot be done. God later clothed them with the skins of animals. And you know, the gospel was being preached right there. Right there. That it would take something greater than our own hands, that it would take something greater than our own works. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost and without God, you've got a bad situation, you've got a problem, and there's nothing that you can do about it yourself to fix it. You don't have the power to change that condition. And you can't clothe yourself with your own righteousness and expect to stand justified before God. God will have to clothe you with the righteousness of His Son. And I'll go on just a little bit further here. In the fourth chapter of Hebrews, in the 12th and 13th verse, I believe that it talks to us about this. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I'm thankful for the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. As Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I'm thankful for the gospel, and I'm thankful for what it did to me when it was preached. Friends, listen, it just laid me open and showed me what I was. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now listen to what's said in the 13th verse. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." And he said, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, he wasn't talking about putting an earthly garment over our physical nakedness. He was talking about wearing the garment of salvation. And listen, that's the only thing that will cover your sins. That's it. You must be born again. The fear of death. Do you have it? Do you have it today? Is there fear in your soul? You know, I came here today with more than one thing on my heart. I want to preach the word today, but I want to testify today as well and give personal testimony of what the Lord has done for me, because I have seen both sides of that, and everybody that has been saved has. And as I said, I remember that fear. I believe that the 116th Psalm describes that fear to us. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications. Therefore shall I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death can pass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, and I can relate to that. I can look back into my memory and relate to that. When I found myself in that condition, when I found myself with a realization that my soul was separated from God, that I was lost and in my sins, and that brought guilt, and that brought condemnation, and that brought sorrow, and that brought to me the fear of death. Folks, listen, I can testify to you today of times in my lost years when I was afraid to sleep at night. I can tell you times when the fear of death would consume my mind. I couldn't think of anything else. And I was afraid. I was just like Adam. I was afraid. But, you know, when the Lord saved me, he took it all away. Now, listen, you're going to have some natural fears. Christian people, saved people, are going to have natural fears. You'll never get rid of that all the days of your life. You know, the person that says, "I don't fear anything at all," he's lying to you. We've all got some natural fears. But I'm telling you, from my own experience, and I'm persuaded that it's with like this with everybody, but when God saves a soul, that soul never fears death again. Amen. That internal fear of death is gone. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that fears is not made perfect in love. Well, when God saves us, what does he do? He puts his love in our heart. In the fifth chapter of the Roman letter, we are told that he sheds his love abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so when God saves us, the love that he puts in our heart, it takes that fear of death and it throws it out. It gets rid of it. It casts it out, and it doesn't ever return. You know, I can tell you today with all honesty, from the very moment that God saved me, from that very moment to this very moment, my soul has never again feared death. That condemnation and that fear and that anguish that I had, when God took it away, it has never returned. Amen. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And so, in the fifth chapter of Romans, in the first verse, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why? Why do we have peace? Because when God saves us, he takes the fear away. He drives that fear out of our hearts. Our soul doesn't fear that anymore. And so there's a calming there. There's a peace there in knowing that we don't have to worry about where we're going anymore. We know we're going to a better place when this life is over. We know that we pass from death unto life, that hell will never be our home. And there's a peace in knowing the Lord. And oh, how peaceful it is in the arms of the Lord. You know, I've never talked about this much, but about 25 years ago, I was diagnosed with a heart problem, and I was having some issues. And and I really believe the Lord just let me experience this. But I had gone and had some medical testing done, and they were like, well, there's something wrong. Something's just not right. And so they put me in the hospital, and they did a heart cath. And when they were doing that, for some reason, after that it was over, they had on the orders that they were not supposed to give me this, but they gave me a pill. I mean, it just sent my blood pressure to the basement. I mean, I just bottomed out. And that's the strangest physical feeling that I've ever had in my life. And I was convinced. I mean, they come running in the room and threw my bed up and everything. But I was convinced that I was checking out. I mean, I believed that I was dying. It just was such a strange feeling. And you know what? I mean, I'm telling you the truth. It was like somebody just pulled a big blanket of peace up over me. I had no fear, no fear, no dread. I believe that God's people die in peace. We die in peace. Because any fear that we have has been taken away. You know, we may suffer physically on the way out, but it won't affect the soul of God's children. It's peaceful in the arms of the Lord. I feel bad for anybody that doesn't have that. But I want to tell you something. If you're here today and without it, you can have it. The Lord made a way for everybody. But to be able to know as you go through life, because everything is so uncertain for us. We don't know what one day will bring. I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow. Do you? God hasn't given me any promise of that. I don't know if I'll be living on earth tomorrow, but bless your heart, if I'm not, I know where I will be. I'll be with God. I'll be in heaven. I'll be free from these things here on the earth. Friends, you can know that. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't. You can know that. And you can have that peace that passes all understanding. And to know that it's well with your soul is the greatest knowledge that man can possess. You'll never know anything better than knowing the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. Are you afraid? And I'm not talking about from a natural point of view. I'm talking about spiritually. Are you afraid to die? I'm not. There's no fear in my soul. But that's not because I'm brave. That's because God took it away. He took it away. He took it from me. He took away all that fear. And it's never come back. But if you're lost, and you know, you can lie to yourself. You can lie to somebody else. But God will know if you've got that fear in your heart. The only way you're ever going to get rid of it, the only way you're ever going to escape it, is to come to the Lord, to repent of your sins, to trust in Jesus and be saved. And He'll take that fear away from you. And it'll be well with your soul. No fear. No fear. How about it, lost soul? Wouldn't you love to get rid of that? Wouldn't you love to get rid of that burden of guilt and condemnation? Well, the only one that can take it away is Jesus. Amen. He's your only hope. Let's have a song, Brother Strode.
Number 200. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to His tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the Word, my fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.